Hi there, this is Mike Quinn. You'll know me as Nine Numb in Star Wars, and you're listening to the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 329 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt the Killer Casal.
Hello.
It is Monday night, June 29th, and tonight we're going to do a little something different, and we're going to talk about the Golden State Killer. Joseph D'Angelo today admitted to his crimes, and what better way to spend our evening than, getting into a little bit of the details of those crimes, of these confessions, doing our own little true crime episode.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I think of the Golden State Killer, I think of him just walking around wearing those sweet jerseys.
That fucking Golden State Warriors logo is so fucking cool. I love it. I absolutely love it.
The bridge logo?
It would be a bridge, but it has like a knife on it or something. Or more in his realm, shoelaces that he would tie his victims up.
Yeah, I love that Warriors logo. It's so retro. I love that they're like they haven't gotten too modern and introduced like black to their color scheme. They're still pretty
much... They have, just not that particular version.
Yeah, but they're still pretty much blue and gold. And goddamn, a royal blue and gold looks great. Unlike the orange jumpsuit that Joseph D'Angelo was wearing today. But before we get into jailbird couture, we do housekeeping with Ian Sharpley.
Man, I can't beat that. McSauce.com, the home of our webcomic, the home of our podcast. Check us out on all the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, you name it, we got it. Go there and check us out. We also have a Patreon. Big shout out to Jeremy Knaus for signing up today. Thank you so much. We now have, it looks like we have 15 shows on there. We've been putting out, we've promised to put out two shows in addition to the regular show a week, but we've been on a steady feed of just putting shows out every Wednesday, so we will have another one up and ready for you each Wednesday. It looks like for the foreseeable future. Whenever you do subscribe, you also get to send along a survey. That survey will let you pick out the kind of episode that you want, the length of episode, how drunk we get, all the good stuff. So if you sign up, we will deliver to you hot, steaming podcasts of your wildest dreams. So
we've gotten really good reviews for the choose your own episodes. It makes me happy because, you know, we're getting good content from the listeners that we're able to turn into good episodes. I don't want to pat ourselves on the back, but because I think it is a lot of it is listener driven. You know, we're getting a lot of cool ideas, a lot of cool topics to riff on for half hour to an hour. So thank you, listeners. Thank you, patrons. And we're going to keep trying to turn out the product that you guys seem very happy with.
Yeah, as well as the regular show, but...
Not the regular show, but the McSauce regular episodes.
Yeah, not that one about the two
the fucking
birds or
bird
whatever.
And the
is that
squirrel
shit?
Or the whatever weird bullshit that is. No. I never got into the regular show.
McSauce.
Never had any desire.
McSauce
something
maybe.
Has like a gumball head. A gumball.
Isn't that the amazing
an animated
world of gumball?
Gumball? No.
Isn't that a separate
There's
show?
Something with like a gumball machine that's I think that's regular show. But there is the amazing world of gumball, which doesn't have any gumballs in it. It's like little animals.
False advertising, everybody. So what isn't false advertising is tonight we're talking some serial killer chiller. Matt, you jokingly sort of brought it up on our pre-show text feed. You mentioned that today was a special day and wanted to maybe talk about it. And we sat around and were tossing some topics up, and this is the one that stuck.
So I feel like Like, I like serial killers.
You love them.
I like horror. I like scary, spooky stuff. But the Golden State Killer is like a black hole for me. Like, I know he's been around a while. I should know this stuff.
He's done some things.
But I fucking don't. It's like jokes and card games. For whatever reason, I can't retain them. Like, my
jokes,
brain
card
just...
games and the Golden State Killer.
It's literally in one ear and out the other. Like, I can't retain jokes or how to play card games. And
what
I know
about
we've
card
talked
tricks?
About...
Do you know card tricks?
No. I know we've talked about the Golden State Killer before. Multiple times. But every time you bring him up, I'm like, who is this?
Like, well, maybe tonight it'll stick. Probably not.
I hope so. I hope a little bit of a dive into Golden State Killer really registers it in the old noggin here.
In the pre-podcast feed, Paul, you were remarking how you don't really remember what we do episode to episode. Maybe it's a larger issue that you're having with your memory loss at
your
advanced
cognitive
age.
Skills. I thought whenever I saw that you texted over, I thought you were going to say, because one of the topics was favorite live sports event. And I thought you were going to say, I can't remember any sports events that I went to.
Do you remember any?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That can be next week. Surprise sports. But tonight, today, Joseph DeAngelo, the Golden State Killer, admitted to his crimes. And what better night to spend talking about those crimes than tonight?
Yeah, about 2 years ago, he got arrested for crimes that he committed going all the way back to like the early 70s or mid 70s. And he got arrested 2 years ago. And in those 2 years, he's pretty much sat in jail waiting his trial. But I guess today was sort of a preliminary trial and he admitted guilt.
Seems a long time to get him into court.
That is a slow moving process. I think he's made two previous court appearances so far. So what is he, like one a year? His original one when he first got arrested, another one a year later, and now another year later. So there won't be a trial because he admitted to killing 13 people, which is just the tip of the iceberg with this guy, Paul.
Yes.
He didn't start out killing people. He actually started out... He's had four different names.
Wait, he admitted to killing how many?
13 people.
So he's been three different things, and then finally somebody had the idea to kind of combine it all, and let's give him one overarching name. So he's
marketing, folks. Golden State. Very hot right then.
Right. So originally... He was known as the Visalia Ransacker.
Terrible name. Doesn't roll off the tongue.
Yeah, it's a word jumble.
The town of Visalia, not easy to say.
Ransacker.
Ransacker.
Get out of here, you Ransacker.
I also don't like original Night Stalker. That it reminds me of the Ghostbusters cartoon that was like the real Ghostbusters, because they didn't have the rights to the name Ghostbusters, so that fake ass cartoon popped up and used it instead. So Ray Stantz and Peter Venkman had to be like, hold up, we're the real Ghostbusters, because Night Stalker is Richard Ramirez. It's also Carl Kolchak for you 70s TV buffs.
What about the remake of the Night Stalker?
I fucking love the remake of
the
Night Stalker.
Who starred as the Night Stalker?
The guy that played Dorian Gray in that League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I know who that guy
is. I'm pretty sure that's
who
it was.
But I've never seen Night Stalker.
I can't think of the guy's name.
So he's no Darren McGavin.
He was He was Ooh, really fucking good.
Just don't remember his name.
Right. I don't remember his name. He's all like...
Let me get this straight. Card games,
jokes,
and the Golden State Killer And the actor that played Night Stalker.
Can we get sponsored by some cognitive health pills or something for Paul? Anybody out there that knows of any good brain pills?
No, look, I'm normally spot on about actors and TV shows, like all that stuff. His name is Stuart Townsend, is the actor.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he was Dorian Gray in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. So I got it. I got some of it.
You got it, Paul.
I got some of it.
So let's go to the second name. It was ramping up his, because he started off as a burglar, right?
As yes.
As a ransacker.
He was a burglar. He burgled.
Then he went from burgling to rape.
So
the East Area Rapist.
So right, I like, or the ear for short, Paul.
I don't
Do you like that nickname
acronym
better?
I don't like
the
acronym.
Ear.
That's disgusting.
I got raped by the ear.
I like
ear
rapist.
Raping.
It's strong, it's descriptive, but East Area, it's so loose.
It is loose.
It's so like, it's so nondescriptive.
Visalia. Very specific, right. To like, hey, you know, around.
Would you prefer Visalia Rapist?
Well, it seems like,
but
he,
that's not where the rapes happen.
Yeah,
these are two different.
Out. He branched
listen,
out.
Listen,
well, I just mean, you know, phonetically, you know, how attractive the names are. I think Visalia Rapist.
I would prefer
is better than the Visalia Ransacker.
What's that? Rancho.
Is Rancho Cucamonga Ransacker.
Rancho Cucamonga Rapist. And Rapist and Ransacker.
So
rapist plus Ransacker.
The Visalia ransacking took place in Visalia.
Yes. No fucking shit.
Thank
The East Area rapings.
He raped,
yes. Yeah. But, it was in the East Area, but the East Area of what? Sacramento. So two totally different parts of California. He was basically moving south.
I do my ransacking over here, my raping down there.
And so when he was doing his ransacking, he started in April of 1974, and it went until December of 1975. So about a year and a half.
Just tossing coffee tables and
he did
opening drawers and
he did
spelling
over
their contents.
Over 100 B&Es. Okay.
Tossing TVs
but
face
here's the
down
thing.
On the
here's
floor.
Here's the thing. He actually committed his first murder.
Murder.
He committed his first murder during his Visalia ransacking days. In February of 1975, February 5th, 1975,
someone's life.
He tried to, in the middle of the night, break into a house and kidnap, I think it was a teenage girl. He was clad in a ski mask, and it was the home of Claude Snelling and his wife.
Terrible name.
And which one, Claude or Snelling?
Both.
Well, unfortunately,
I would prefer Visalia Snelling.
It was like at 2 a.m. and as Claude was woken up and realized what was happening, he ran out of the house and confronted the Visalia ransacker. He was not the ear yet. He was just the Visalia ransacker at this point. And he confronted him because the VR had Claude Snelling's daughter in his clutches as he was he was in the process of actually getting away with her, and Claude Snelling confronted him, but unfortunately the VR shot him twice and murdered him. So that was his very first
so
known
what happened
killing.
To the daughter
at that point the VR escaped on foot and ran away and left the daughter.
He was gonna kidnap her on foot. He wasn't even putting her in a car.
No, you know what his...
Good luck running with someone wriggling over your shoulder.
Well,
how far are you going to get?
He had her very compliant because he had a gun and he was threatening her with the gun and a knife. So she was very compliant to that point. So you know what his method of transportation was, Ian?
Tennis shoes. A bike.
A bike. That's right.
motorcycle, right?
No.
Two-seater.
A bicycle. You know what he did, Paul?
Put her in the basket on the front.
Ding, ding.
She was E.T.
Flies over the moon. And it says VR.
Well, that's what he was hoping for. It didn't work out that way.
That's what we're all hoping for.
So,
hey, if Steven Spielberg would have removed those guns, Claude Snelling would be alive today.
Yeah, the VR would have hit him with a walkie-talkie.
Wasn't it a baton?
I don't know.
All right, so anyway.
I love the thought of Claude Snelling standing in his yard just getting hit in the forehead with a walkie-talkie.
Like, ow! Yeah. That's the alternate Quentin Tarantino version. So, unfortunately, Claude Snelling died, and the VR actually took off on foot from this particular crime. But he got there by bicycle, because what he would do is he would find, like, a bike in a yard or something, and he would steal it, and that's how he would get around quickly and silently, and then he would just ditch the bike, because there was no way to link it to him, because he had just stolen it. So he was a cunning individual,
well,
and resourceful.
Was he, when he was ransacking houses, was he doing it to, like, for theft, to get money, to get, like,
well, in this case, he was
goods?
Trying to kidnap a person.
Well,
but
in this case in particular, but, like, was that the goal the whole time? Was he always looking
to
step up his game, or was it just?
I think it was mostly for personal pleasure. I think he lived on the thrill of the potential of breaking into a house with somebody in there, stealing their shit, holding them at gunpoint. You know, it wasn't, I don't think it was just like stealing stuff with people not there. Like, he actually confronted people and scared the shit out of them. People's fear was the thing that drove him to most of his crimes, but they do escalate over time. But the common denominator is he was sexually aroused by people's fear. Fear was like his aphrodisiac.
Well, Fear Aphrodisiac, my new metal band.
So, after December 1975, the ransacking of Visalia ends.
So we're going to get to the Diamond Knot Killer, which I think is the coolest of the names. I mean, Golden State Killer, that's top notch, but Diamond Knot Killer is pretty
cool
too.
I don't know all of his monikers, so you're gonna have to fill us in on the Diamond Knot Killing.
I don't know why. It's just
I mean, I'm gonna take a stab names. In the dark here, so to speak, Ian, but I think that he's probably called that because he would tie up his victims with a very distinct diamond knot. What do you think?
You got it. Ding, 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 ding. Okay. Or the belt. Ring, 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 ring. Bike bell.
So, Paul, he then goes on to start committing new crimes. Rapes. Burglaries aren't enough. Rapes are what he's going to do next. 100 burglaries. Guess how many rapes he committed from June 1976 through July 1979.
50.
That's a really good guess.
50 plus.
I think it was a cool 50. Yes.
That's
50.
A lot of rapes.
That is a ton of rapes. And
it sounds like so much work. So exhausting.
And in such a little time, amount of time. That's
from, what was it, 75 to 79?
June 76 to July 79. So 3 years.
Christ.
3 years, he had 50
that's
sexual interactions.
That's 16.6 rapes a year.
That's less than one a month.
Those are some numbers.
I mean,
yeah,
it's more than one,
than
a, month.
One a month.
More than one a month.
Man.
Whew. Guy's getting a lot of action.
Before we started this episode, we were talking about dumb things that we did, that we've done. Be it like throw eggs at cars, or like steal baseball stickers from a grocery store, just like dumb stuff that normal kids, teenagers do. But man, the balls on this guy, breaking into houses,
He wasn't a teenager at this point. He was He was in his mid-30s when he's committing these crimes. Most serial killers, especially in their earlier days, do it like in their 20s. But this piece of shit was in his mid-30s.
So, like, we were talking about dumb stuff that we've done, and, you know, Matt walked out on a couple different ledges, and Matt's like, you don't have any stories like that? And I don't. Like, I feel like I was always rationally more focused on the potential consequences, and, like, so, like, I've done a lot of bad things. I haven't done a lot of dumb things.
I've done my fair share of dumb things. My bravado and the idea that I could always talk my way out of something has always led me down the road of dumbness.
So talking about, you know, the Vasily ransacker at this point, just the idea coming from a previous conversation of, like, breaking into someone's house at night and, like, overturning it. I'm like, I couldn't even entertain that.
I agree. And he did it in such a short time span. Like, he did that in only a year and a half.
Like, they had to have.
How did he not get caught?
They had to have been looking for that guy, even though he was doing different crimes in different areas. He was centralized in a specific kind of crime in one area. That's a lot of.
Right there in central Visalia.
They were looking for cars, but the whole time he was like. Just running away.
Yeah.
Paul, do the math. How many burglaries did he commit in a year and a half? How many did he do a month?
What's the total for burglaries?
100 over the course of 18 months.
That's 5.5 a month. That's over more than one a week.
It's a Tuesday, and he's just like. Gotta hit my numbers.
This guy just cannot be satiated.
Very prolific.
Loved crime. Loved it.
So here's the thing. He didn't get off on the recognition. He didn't give a shit about that. You know, some serial killers are like, they write to newspapers and they gotta be the guy. And you need to know that they are the ones that committed the crime.
He
didn't do that.
We know what he got off on.
So then he starts doing these rapes, 50 rapes over 3 years.
Oh,
and there was one trait about him that all of the victims have all corroborated. Paul, do you have any idea what that might be?
Micropenis.
He had a micropenis.
Maybe I have retained some stuff about the Golden State Killer.
He had a tiny little dinker.
I feel like we could have asked you any question and you would have said micro penis.
No, I actually thought this was the right answer.
Mm.
I wasn't just being funny.
So you want to hear something really funny?
Is it not the right answer?
No, it is.
It's the right answer, but this part's really funny.
Yay me.
So today... Wait, where the hell did it go?
What she said.
As today in court, which had all the like victims' families attended this hearing today, and they, because there were so many victims and so many family members of these victims, they had to accommodate this in a makeshift courtroom. They were actually in the ballroom at Sacramento State University to accommodate that many people in a social distanced environment. So it was like really weird looking, but they treated it like a courtroom. And so when they were reading some of the statements, it says here that family members of... Nice writing, NPR. Family members of one of the women who was raped broke into applause when the prosecutor read a victim's statement that D'Angelo had a small penis. I love that they didn't waste the opportunity to embarrass him in that way. Although you've seen pictures of him right now, I don't think he's embarrassed. He looks very unaware of what's happening.
He looks vicious.
He looks vicious? I think he looks completely, I don't know.
Let me see that picture.
He seems unaware of what's going on. Oh,
well, like that picture doesn't look great, but like some of the other pictures that I looked up, he looks kind of like he looks goofy, but he looks like he looks very threatening to me. He's looks like one of those dudes, like any second, like he's just going to like rip your throat out.
Right. Well, yeah, he's play
a
five acting
burglary a month guy. That's what he looks like.
I look at that guy and I'm like, quotas. Bottom lines.
So micropenis. So why don't we move on to his next moniker?
The next one, he became, well, the ear attacks, Paul, stopped. And then, let me see here. Let me refer to my notes. Starting in October of 1979. So he took a break, man. Like the... I'm sorry. I was reading my notes wrong. He ended his raping in... Oh, by the way, the raping didn't stop. Let me clarify that. He was known as the East Area Rapist when that's all he was doing. But then when he graduates to murdering people on a regular basis, he was still doing the raping.
With a side of rape.
Of course. Right. But like we've essentially gone from, you know, 5.5 burglaries a month to... What was it? 16.6 rapes in a year, or 16.6 rapes over three years?
No. 16. It was like 16 rapes a year.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, 16 burglaries a month. When he was doing his ransacking, then it was 5. Whatever rapes a month, or
busy
something.
Guy.
Let's not do the math on this. I think we're
doing,
totally wrong.
He did a lot of crimes.
A lot of
crimes.
What's
he doing when he's not filling quotas?
Thinking about crime.
Believe it or not.
Actually, this is a funny part.
Well,
go ahead, Matt.
I looked up a picture today, and there seems to be a police officer picture. Was he a cop?
Yes.
Our heroes. What the fuck?
The boys in blue.
He was a cop. But he got fired. Want to know why he got fired?
Raping on the clock.
Well, he probably did that, but I don't think he got caught for that one, Ian. Do you know why he got fired?
I don't know. What was it?
He was caught shoplifting from a hardware store.
As a cop? He was on
I don't know if he was on the clock when he did it, but he did get caught as a employed police officer. And... He was caught stealing a hammer and dog repellent, which both of these tools were going to be used for his crimes.
Buddy, you were probably going to find these things in the house you ransacked later that night. Just wait 5 more hours till the sun goes down.
He just loved it. He loved crime. He wanted to witness crime as a cop. He wanted to be crime incarnate. So the original Night Stalker from 79, this was the longest stretch that he was active.
It was the longest stretch, but it was the least amount of crimes, even though these are the worst of the crimes, because now he's killing people.
Right, and some of the stuff that he was doing back then, he would break into homes and he would tie up husband and wife. He would do things like have the husband sort of lay down and put dishes on his back so that...
I assume he got that technique from his days of ransacking. He knew where to look for the plates.
Yeah, you know what? Because they're all over the place. They could be anywhere.
Right,
you don't ever know.
But he found them in a flash because he's like, I've done 100 of these. I know where people keep the plates.
So that's what he would do first. He was like, all right, first I'm going to use my ransacking skills. And then I'm going to
use my raping skills.
Okay. By the way, we're having a lot of fun with this. This is horrible stuff that we're talking about. This is how we cope with murder, death, rape, and ransacking. So
ransacking. Cope with ransacking.
So... apologies to the families. This is tragic. This is tragedy. We're trying to give you guys something fun to enjoy. We're not taking this lightly, even though we're assholes. So he would go in, he would find these couples, he would... He would make the wife start tying up the husband, and then he would tie her up too.
Yeah, I don't know if he had a specific order of things. Sometimes mm-hmm. it felt like very random.
First, I mean,
plates first, but yeah, I mean that was kind of his MO, which was to incapacitate the victims by tying them up somehow, and then. What he sometimes would do is he would rape the woman with his micro penis, and he would usually do that in a separate room. Because what he would do with those plates is if he heard the plates topple off of the back of the male victim, he would know that that guy is trying to get up, and he would warn they do that. He was going to go back into that room and shoot and kill the husband and then the wife.
The Golden State Killer that would do this?
Yes. This is in his third form, the original, the OG.
The OG Night Stalker. And here, let me explain something about these three names that he had. He was never even known as the Golden State Killer, Paul, until like 2010 or 2012, something like that, when Michelle McNamara, Patton Oswalt's wife, who was like, I guess, kind of a true crime junkie, and she became obsessed with the case to the point where she was giving it so much attention that a lot of people looked to her as one of the reasons why he got caught, because she was bringing a lot more attention to the crimes. And she was able to essentially give this person a name that encompassed all of their crimes instead of just their raping crimes or their burglary crimes. Actually, here's the thing, though. It wasn't until today, actually, that it's confirmed that he was also the Visalia ransacker. Everybody assumed he was, but people only knew for sure that he was the ear and the original Night Stalker. But now everybody knows he was all three of those things.
Why is he the original Night Stalker? Did he start before Richard Ramirez?
He did. However, he wasn't known as the Night Stalker until after Richard Ramirez was known as the Night Stalker. I think he was named the original Night Stalker because he fit the MO so closely to what Ramirez did. So they gave him the name the original Night Stalker.
Weak.
If you ask me, he is every bit as terrifying as Richard Ramirez was. Maybe even more so, because he went out of his way to torment his victims. One of the scariest things that he did, Ian, was he would commit his crime. He would, rape the woman. He may have only did this as the ear, I'm not sure, but he would rape the woman, and then he would stand silently in the darkness and make the woman think that he left, and the woman would maybe talk to her daughter, because there was one case where the daughter was in the room, and she started talking to the daughter are you okay, and then the daughter goes, mommy, shh, he's still here.
Oh my God.
And then at that point he leans over the bed and presses down on the bed. So she figured he was still there. And then she was so terrified. It took her hours to muster up the courage to call the police, 'cause she wasn't sure when he left.
That's fucking horrifying. Even just thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible stuff. I mean, what has to go on in your mind that you are that kind of a monster that would terrorize somebody in that fashion after you've already committed all these heinous acts?
He wouldn't even mess
up her sheets.
He wouldn't, right.
Throwing things on the ground.
Dumping the silverware drawer.
He wouldn't even only terrorize people the night of the crime, months and sometimes years later, he would call his former victims and he would, you know, say, like, kind of in a menacing voice, you know, "You remember the night we played?" Oh! Or something like, yeah, like the Pillsbury Doughboy. There's actually recorded audio because he left, like, a message on a woman's answering machine. And he's, like, whispering and he's going, like, into the receiver. He's like, "Gonna kill you. Gonna kill you." Just like that over and over. And so here's the thing. I was listening to this podcast called Generation Y, I don't know, like 3-4 years ago, and they covered the original Night Stalker. And at this point, he may or may not have been linked to the East Area Rapist, but certainly he hadn't been caught yet. It was just one of those cold cases that he was forever going to be one of those serial killers that got away. We're never going to know who he was. So they played that audio at the end of the episode. And given the circumstances that we didn't know who he was at that point, and it's like less scary now that we know he's this feeble piece of shit, kind of like Dennis Rader when you see the BTK killer, it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, it's that guy? Not that scary anymore. But like in your mind, the ones that they don't have never identified, they're like way creepier. And
well, because they're not identified.
Well, right, but anyway,
because your imagination's left to do the work.
Exactly, but when they played that audio of hit, like, they're like, "Here, we're gonna play this audio. It's really the original Night Stalker's real voice." It was the most chilling thing I have ever heard in my life. And then, you know, I find out, oh, they caught the Golden State Killer, and I didn't know yet that that was the original Night Stalker. It took like a couple months for everything to kind of come together for me.
He's creepy, man. I think he's really scary looking. Even that like kind of feeble picture that you pulled up, like his like Wikipedia, like, you know, mugshot, like he looks like a scary fucking guy. He looks like a creepy fucking guy.
He was a nasty guy.
You look at, I know all the shit that Dennis Rader did, and you look at Dennis Rader and you're like, this fucking dork.
Yeah.
Like to look at him, he's not threatening, but like looking at like this guy is like, I don't like looking at this guy.
And it really highlights the fact that he was committing all these different crimes under these different aliases, and people kind of thought that they were different people.
He's also just 74 now, yeah. Who's been in prison for 2 years. So like, he's not like, imagine a fucking dude in his prime.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't like looking at some of those younger pictures.
He's probably a big
hardy
guy.
Dude.
Yeah.
Tiny little ding dong, but kind of a big dude.
It's just so crazy how little communication the police had back in the day. In the 1970s, you could essentially you could do all these crimes. You could do whatever it was.
100 burglaries.
100 burglaries a month and get away with it. And no one
no,
would.
No, 100 total. 100 a month.
No, I know.
Like 4 a night.
Just, he's like the Santa Claus of burglaries. He's just all over the place.
What's Santa going to take tonight?
He's reverse Santa. The anti-Santa.
It's like he doesn't take anything.
Flies through the neighborhood on his bike. It's just so scary that any old fuck could just steal a bike and then go and commit all these horrible crimes. So it is at least heartening to know that now not only are there resources for the police and the FBI and everything like that, but normal regular people that have an interest or a passion or an obsession that can put together these facts and catch people like this.
Being such an avid Last Podcast listener who, you know, they go in depth in covering like all these serial killers on a weekly basis. What's craziest to me is, like, you know, growing up, you hear all of these names and, you know, you hear the stories and all that. But then listening to the Last Podcast, like back to back to back to back, like getting like what's always so fucking insane to me is I'm like, all of these guys were doing this shit within like the same 5 years. Like, Bundy, Gacy, this guy, Ramirez, you know, like all of this stuff was happening between like 75 or like 72 and 78. Like,
Zodiac.
It's yeah, like all of this shit was like, what the fuck, 70s?
Well, I think the highway system had something to do with it because you could get on the highway. You could be gone. You could show up at a town that nobody knew you and, you know, commit all these horrible crimes. I mean, you didn't even need a car. You could just use your bike.
Use the old Shoe Leather Express.
I think you could get away with it then, too. There weren't really cameras. Their DNA wasn't really a thing yet.
People were more trusting because people were still coming out of the 1950s and the 1960s, and there was a different way that you thought about people. I bet most of these victims probably didn't lock their doors, had open windows, were more overly
trusting. And also,
trusting.
Like, adjacent county, like, police teams weren't communicating with each other. Like, they'd have, like, the same, you know, some of the same, like, MOs and evidence, but they'd have no idea because they didn't communicate with each other.
Yeah. So, Matt, why don't you talk about a little bit, you know, you touched on the sort of the re-interest or the additional focus that came up, but what specifically led to him being caught? It was some new technology, sort of.
Yeah, it was DNA technology because sexual sadists like the Golden State Killer leave their calling card, so to speak.
They come on your silverware after they dump
it on
the floor.
That's right. Eat my jizz. That's what he would say.
That was a discarded Bart Simpson quote.
They look at the mirror. It says ear. What is that? Let me taste it.
He had to be pissed about that.
His favorite
so mad
scene
if I
was from
like,
There's Something About Mary.
The acronym's ear. It's ear.
Because he left his cum behind, he was identified through DNA.
Stop coming everywhere!
Right? He was identified through DNA, through a genealogy company.
God bless 23andMe.
I don't think it was 23andMe. It wasn't Ancestry.com. It was some other one.
Cum Research.
Cum Finders. The real cum finders.
But it's just the ghost made of cum.
It gives Slimer a whole new meaning.
How is that not on his list of aliases, Slimer?
So one of his family members went on to cumdetectives.org.
It was a third cousin, and they had a match from a third cousin. So what they did, investigators looked at, you know, his family tree to see, like, who could this third cousin maybe be related to? Who fits the profile? Who fits the, who places this person there? And they came down to two relatives. They investigated both, and they quickly realized Joseph DeAngelo was the only one that it could be. So then they started surveilling him. They got his DNA, I believe, somehow. I can't remember how, maybe like a discarded can or something. But I think they matched it. So they knew they had their man, and then they went ahead and they arrested him. But for 2 years, Paul, he sat in jail and he didn't say that he did the crimes until today. Until today, June the 29th, 2020.
We got him.
Kind of insane. Like I was... I saw, and you know, I may have mentioned this to you over the weekend, but like I saw something on Twitter that said something like the 80s are just as far away from now as the 50s were when we were kids in the 80s, or some weird shit like that. And that fucking blows my mind because the 80s don't seem that far away. But when I was a kid, the 50s seemed like that didn't really happen.
What it feels like a bigger like technological gap, the 50s to the 80s or the 80s to now? Probably the 80s to now.
The 80s till now, I think. I mean, the 50s.
I guess. That's right.
We still had TVs that looked similar to the shit that our parents watched in the 1950s, right? Like, maybe there was still stuff that kind of looked the same.
Or the internet made the world a lot smaller.
Right.
Yeah,
and
I guess, just our phones.
Recording this podcast.
Yeah. Now, the technological gap between, you know, 80s to now is huge, and which makes the 80s feel not that far away because the 80s are only like
that should make the 80s feel a bigger gap. Like way further away.
But it doesn't because it's so accessible now. Like
but
they're tied together because the technology advancement between the 80s till now makes it feel like the 80s aren't that far away. But in the 80s, you couldn't get, like, I couldn't just look up My Three Sons on my phone immediately in the 80s. I'd have to wait till, like, Nick at Night played it.
Yeah, like, that's...
But now, like, I could watch My Three Sons right now.
Yeah, in the culture's in your face all the time. And plus, also, we were alive then. We remember what it was like. So, yeah. Just like today when we were talking about things that we did whenever we were teenagers, that shit was a long time ago.
Yeah.
You default, oh, it was 20 years. Nope, we're old men. It was much longer.
Right. So the long way to, like, my thought process was that, like, it's insane to me that someone that's, like, started doing this shit in the mid-70s is still alive. Like, I feel like all of those killers seem, like, so long ago and such, like, a distant place that, like, I feel like it's crazy that
they're all,
a lot of them are still,
they're totally
around.
All alive except for the ones that we've killed.
Yeah,
you know, like Ted Bundy would still be alive today. Son of Sam is still alive.
Yeah,
again, a lot less scary. David Berkowitz, he's not very scary.
He's so ugly. He's so ugly.
He is ugly, but, like, he's also not scary at all. But, like, Son of Sam is horrifyingly chilling, right? Mm-hmm. But David Berkowitz is a total dweeb.
Well, like, I think Son of Sam's stupid. Like, I think the name is great. Name's great, but, like, when you break down the story, like, he'd, like, creep out on some street, like, shoot from the darkness, just, like, anonymously kill people. This Golden State Killer shit, he was breaking into houses, being up in your business, you know, purpose, like, personally, like, ruining your entire life. Like, that's fucked up. That's so fucked up. David Berkowitz just fucking shooting people on the street. That's pussy shit. Like, this this fucking Golden State Killer stuff, horrifying. Horrifying.
Yeah, when he started killing people, I think it was, you know, he would shoot them, but, like, he even began to bludgeon people to death. Like, he found, you know, somebody had logs outside their house for their fireplace, and he grabbed one and he beat a guy to death with that log.
It's wild, wild stuff. So, thankfully, we caught him, and hopefully we're going to get rid of him.
This whole thing, well, he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison, the rest of his short whatever's left
it
of
might,
his life.
Yeah.
There's no possibility that he can be executed. A, because does California do that?
I don't believe so.
And B, because he admitted to the crimes, I guess that's his plea deal. He's not going to get killed or whatever. But anyway,
I think it's a more fitting punishment for him to live out the last of his days to wither and die in jail.
I think so too. And I want to study him like a fucking science project. Like, I want to poke him with sticks and shit and see what happens.
They'll come.
Only if you're scared.
But the whole thing to me with the way that he was caught, it raises some questions. A, is there ever going to be, like, another serial killer like this or, like, any of those classics from the 70s, given
don't romanticize it,
given
so much,
the
man.
DNA technology that we have, the fact that there's cameras everywhere, there's so many more traceable ways to find people. Can somebody truly go on a 10-person random killing spree and truly get away with it in this day and age?
Let's hope not. Matt, the way you're sounding is like, is anybody ever going to score, you know, win 73 games again?
Anybody going to break that record? Will somebody really hit 73 home runs?
I don't know.
I can't think of the guy's name, but I think like he was the latest guy. He was like a late teens, early 20s. Had a real weird name. I think he went from like Vancouver to like Texas or something.
Oh, you're thinking of Israel Keys.
Yeah, I think like that's probably the most recent run.
He went from Alaska to the other coast, like to the East Coast.
Yeah.
And he would randomly... This guy's one of the
but
scariest...
But pretty modern.
Yeah. Can I tell you one of the craziest fucking things he ever did?
Yes.
So, Ian, what he would do is... Well, one time, he was driving around, traveling in, like, the Chicago area. He's not from Chicago. He had no business there, but he was passing through. He finds this house that is like for sale. It looked like it was going to be like condemned or something. And he puts his instruments of destruction in this house, because he then goes to another house, like a nearby house or something, relatively nearby. And he abducts a middle-aged or slightly older than middle-aged couple out of the home. And he takes them to this house. And he torments them and he tortures them until he eventually murders them and covers their bodies. And then knowing that the house is going to be like condemned, house gets demolished, the dead bodies get scooped up and just thrown away with all the other trash. And he actually got away with that one until he got caught years later. This guy would have like buckets from like Lowe's or Home Depot filled with weapons, materials to kill people.
Stash houses all over the country.
He would plant them all over the country, yeah. Dig them holes, and he would keep them in holes or put them in little caves or something.
His run was from 96 to 13.
It's wild. Like, that's a... What's this dude's name?
Israel Keys. That's recent.
It is recent. And what's really creepy, there's video footage of him abducting his final victim. She worked in one of those like drive-through coffee stands, and he is, you know, hooded, and he's, because this is in Alaska, he's got this big coat on, and he forces his way into the little stand. You can see the girl like kind of backs up, because at that point he probably pulled a gun on her, and it's just so creepy to know, because he abducted her and he murdered her, and who God knows what else he did to her, and then but that was the crime that they caught him. You know why? Because that was the first and only one that he committed in his backyard. All the other ones he committed.
Yeah, all over.
Like, the reason why he did it the way he did it was because it gave him the best chance of getting away with it. Like,
because he wasn't from there. Nobody could trace him,
exactly.
Really. Well, thank God that there is all this technology. So hopefully we won't all be murdered by bucket killers or
so the other
reverse
the,
Santa Claus.
The other question that today's technology and especially the means at which D'Angelo was caught is, are they going to be able to finally get the guy that interests me the most is the Zodiac Killer. Are they going to get him through genealogy? Because I have heard within the last couple years that they actually have now a DNA profile on Zodiac from one of the licked stamps of one of his letters. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, I gotta think it's just a matter of time until he's identified through genealogy.
Could be, but who knows if he's dead now.
Well, whatever. I kind of don't care. Like, I would like it if he's still alive and he gets caught. That would be cool. I think he's probably dead, but holy shit, I would love to know who it was, and then you can learn about his story, and it will just complete the puzzle. You know, it's right now that particular story is such an incomplete puzzle. It'll definitely kill some of the scariness of the character.
I would bet Zodiac goes the way of Jack the Ripper, and that's it. Like, we
hopefully
never find
not.
Out.
Hopefully not.
That's going to do it for us tonight. Thank everyone for joining us on this wild ride down serial killer lane. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Matt Casale.
And we will see you next time.